So it is lovely to have you with us, whether you can see me or not, or whether you're on the phone or Zooming. It's lovely to be together on this third Sunday of Epiphany. So let's just have a moment before we start. Lord of light and salvation, the stronghold of our lives, we come today to worship you. You shone in the darkness and have given us hope. We walk towards your light today, knowing that your light can never be extinguished. Lord, we come today to dwell in your house. Amen. Forgiving God, Father of all, almighty and powerful one, whose kingdom has come near, we come to sit at your feet today. Jesus, light of the world, you stepped down into darkness and came and lived among us. We come to sit at your feet today. Holy Spirit, you breathe life into our calling. Your wisdom and guidance helps us to follow you. We come to sit at your feet today. Amen. God of healing, God of wholeness, we bring our brokenness, our sinfulness, our fears and despair, and lay them at your feet. God of healing, God of wholeness, we hold out hearts and hands, minds and souls to feel your touch and know the peace that only you can bring. God of healing, God of wholeness, this precious moment in your presence and power, grant us faith and confidence that here broken lives are made whole. Help us to lean on you. Help us to trust in you. Help us to learn from you. Help us to follow you. Help us to spread the good news. Amen. Loving and merciful God, who has called us repentance, we are truly forgiven by you. We are washed clean by your blood and can respond to your call to follow you, knowing we are healed and restored. Amen. And our psalm this morning, our verses taken from Psalm 27. And we begin by saying the refrain together. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that alone I seek. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the fair beauty of the Lord, and to seek his will in his temple. For in the day of trouble he shall hide me in his shelter, in the secret place of his dwelling shall he hide me, and set me high upon a rock. And now shall he lift up my head above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his dwelling an oblation with great gladness. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy upon me and answer me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. God, our light and our salvation, illuminate our lives that we may see your goodness in the land of the living. And looking on your beauty, may be changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The first reading is taken from Corinthians 1, chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you not baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our canticle this morning, a song of the covenant, are verses taken from Isaiah 42. And we say together, I have given you as a light to the nations, and I have called you in righteousness. Thus says God, who created the heavens, who fashioned the earth and all that dwells in it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, and I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the captives from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. I have given you as a light to the nations, and I have called you in righteousness.
The second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which is by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Last week in our gospel reading, we heard how John, after baptizing Jesus in the River Jordan, had an epiphany. An epiphany is a revelation, an unveiling. It's a light bulb moment when you suddenly understand and see something with greater clarity. Like the day you realize that you don't just like someone, you've fallen in love with them. or the day that you realise that in all probability you are never ever going to be the next Bond girl, or on a far more serious and spiritual note, the day that I realised that I wanted Jesus to be my saviour. I really wanted to follow Jesus. The day that I looked at Holman Hunt's painting, The Light of the World, and realised that that was exactly as I felt. Jesus was knocking on the door of my heart and my life. Anyway, John utters these extraordinary words. I didn't know Jesus was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize by the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. So despite being Jesus' cousin, and no doubt seeing Jesus over the years, John had absolutely no idea that Jesus was the one until God the Father spoke and the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. So that smashes my childhood view that everyone must have known who Jesus was, because obviously he was walking around wearing a halo. To know who Jesus is, we have to have an epiphany, a revelation of knowing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the result of John's epiphany is that he points everyone he meets to Jesus. Come and meet the One, the Lamb of God. Come and meet him. And John's disciples do just that. They leave John and start to follow Jesus. By the time we get to this morning's gospel passage, Jesus steps up a gear in his ministry. He hears of John's arrest and moves his centre of operations to Capernaum. It's where Peter, Andrew, James and John have their fishing business. Fishing was actually quite a lucrative trade, especially around the Galilee, but it was also quite ordinary. Nothing particularly special about it. But what happened to Peter, Andrew, James and John was anything other than ordinary. Their lives were about to change forever. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." They left their nets at once and followed him. "Come, follow me," Jesus calls. The Greek means "come after me." Having been encouraged by John the Baptist to spend time with Jesus, Peter, Andrew, James and John are ready to hear and respond to Jesus' invitation to follow him, and they do so. 2,000 years later, we too are invited to follow. "Come, follow me," Jesus calls to us. Come, follow. We are invited to be followers of Jesus Christ, not just believers, but followers. There is a difference. A follower needs someone else to do the leading. A follower does not take on the role of leader. A follower puts their trust in the one who leads. As Jesus describes in John's Gospel, the good shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow them because they know his voice. Jesus invites us to follow him. This is an intimate, personal invitation, which, if accepted and acted upon, leads to an intimate and personal relationship with him. It is trusting Jesus to lead us into the life he wants us to live, if we follow him. As the psalmist says in Psalm 32, God says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you." God promises to guide us in every detail of our lives, not just the big things, but every little detail. We have to learn to be followers. We have to work at listening to God and hearing his voice and detecting his promptings and nudgings in our spirit. I think sometimes we make a mistake. We leave listening to God for the big things. But it's important to listen to God in the small things, listening to God hour by hour, day by day, adds up to a life which is more than a life. It is the fullness of life that Jesus promised. It is the path of life that King David speaks of in the Psalms. You have made known to me the path of life. It is the wonderful knowledge that we belong to the Good Shepherd. We are his. Nothing can snatch us from his hand. It is the confidence of knowing that the Good Shepherd will lead us, and he can only lead us into life, and not just this life, but eternal life with him forever. What an amazing invitation. I don't suppose Peter, Andrew, James and John had a clue what would happen when they said yes to Jesus. How could they? And neither can we. But it starts with the small step of saying yes and doing something about it. Those disciples left their nets at once and followed Jesus. And James and John immediately followed Jesus, leaving the boat and their father behind. Poor old dad. I love the picture of poor old Zebedee bobbing up and down in the water, shouting for his boys. I wonder what he thought. Maybe he was pleased for them. What Jesus was doing as he called those first disciples was gathering a team. He offered an invitation and waited to see the response. I love the way Jesus gathers those first disciples. He doesn't coerce them or harangue them or make them feel guilty. He asks them, and he asks us to come and see for ourselves. Only you and I can decide whether we want to sign up for this or not. The invitation is simply to come, to explore, to meet with Jesus, because in the end, it is all about Jesus. It's not about the theory. As John Pritchard wrote, Christianity may sound like a good idea, but it can only be proven by coming face to face with Jesus. Of course, what the disciples were about to discover was that by accepting Jesus' invitation to follow, they found purpose and meaning for their lives. They were going to fish for people. I don't suppose they had a clue what that meant either. It has been said that the two most important days of our life are the day we are born and the day we find out why. We can spend a lot of time trying to work that out. The disciples found the purpose of their lives in following Jesus, learning from him, sticking with him to his death, and ultimately to theirs. And the adventure started when they got out of their boats. Followers of Jesus have found the same thing. Being a follower gives purpose and meaning to our lives, although thankfully, often in a less dramatic way than Peter, Andrew, James, and John. But you have to get out of the boat. You have to respond to Jesus' invitation to come, follow me. Amen.
Almighty God, as you called your first disciples, so you call us to follow you. You call us not only to repentance and lifestyle changes, but call us to love others as ourselves. You call us to care and share, and so we pray for all those who need us and need your touch this day. May our love and your touch, O God,
be there for them this day.
For the ongoing war in Ukraine, for those living in fear, those whose lives have been damaged, for those left rootless and homeless, and those who grieve the death of family and friends, for those who are at the front line of fighting and preservation of what is left, for those caring for the injured and the frail, especially those in the firing line. May our love and your touch, O God,
be there for them this day.
For those Russian citizens who live with uncertainty, for those families whose men have been forced to fight with little or no training or understanding of what is going on. May our love and your touch, O God,
be there for them this day.
For those in California who are dealing with floods, landslides, sinkholes, loss of nature and homes and infrastructure, loss of employment and loss of life and livelihood. May our touch and your touch, O God,
be there for them this day.
For all those caught up in the Nepal air disaster, those killed, bereaved, injured, left grieving, those who seek answers to what happened and decide if change needs to be made to prevent future accidents. May our love and your touch, O God,
be there for them this day.
For those around the world who live with injustice, unfairness, and discrimination, for those who simply live with their situation from day to day, and those who decided to stand up for what is right. May our love and your touch, O God,
be there for them this day.
For those in our own country who are striving to hold on to their standard of living, but struggle from day to day with increasing inflation, for those whose physical and mental health is impacted severely by the impact of such things. May our love and your touch, O God,
be there for them this day.
For those who feel that they have no choice but to withdraw their services and stand on picket lines, for those on all sides involved with such difficult dilemmas, may our love and your touch, O God,
be there for them this day.
While we deal with floods, winds and snow and ice, countries like Somalia have a second year with a drought and virtually no harvest, climate change in action. May the world see that we need an about turn to prevent further climate catastrophe. May our love and your touch, O God,
be there for them this day.
For those we know and love, our family, friends and neighbours who are in need this day, in the quietness of our hearts, in this moment, we recall their names to mind. Jacques, Brenda, Olivia, Cynthia, Jackie, Mary, Henrietta, Tony, Donald, Diana, Roman, Ruth, Mike, Bob, Keith, Janice, and the families and friends of those who have recently been bereaved. Nancy Eyre, Michelle Goldsworthy, Irene Dorothy Lancels, Edith Murphy, Henry Eyre. May our love and your touch, O God,
be there for them this day.
Almighty God, in following you, our hearts are pained as we see the struggles, pains and dilemmas of the world and its people. Touch our lives, touch our hearts, deepen our love and hear our prayers in the name of Christ who called us to follow you.
Amen. Amen.
Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And the collect for the day, the third Sunday of Epiphany. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by your mighty power, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Believing the promises of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Christ, the Son of God, perfect in you the image of his glory, and gladden your hearts with the good news of his kingdom, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us, and those we love and pray for, this day and always. Amen. Thank you, Guy. Thank you very much, everybody, for your company. Just a couple of notices. If you wish to come for soup lunch on Thursday, this coming Thursday at Calverley, please let me know. And Calverley Village Hall, that is. And we can provide transport for you if you would like to come. And next Sunday, we have got a fifth Sunday special at 10:45 at Rackenford, where Andy Flanagan, who is involved in an organisation called Christians in Politics, will be coming to speak to us. He's also a singer-songwriter, so I think he'll be doing multiple things. Mm-hmm. We hope so, anyway. That's what we're planning. Yeah. And it would be lovely to welcome anybody who would like to come to that. And I will be here Zooming next Sunday as well, so I look forward to seeing you then, and have a very good day. Don't go out if it's slippy. Keep safe. God bless.